The 7 p.m. newscast in the English language is next.
CRTV News with Winston Lebga. The main points. The Lake Nyos disaster that killed thousands of people plus plant and animal species in Womb Menchum Division of the Northwest is 38 years old today. Cameroon joins the international community in commemorating senior citizens. How important are they to the society? The in-depth section of the news delves into their lives. The United States of America's Democratic Party has chosen Kamala Harris as their candidate for the November elections. The current U.S. Vice President will be the challenger of the former President, Donald Trump. The development of these stories and others next. The Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph John Goute, will, on behalf of the President of the Republic, His Excellency Paul Biya, preside over the official opening ceremony of the first African High-Level Science Summit on Brain Economy, Brain Health, and Brain Capital, scheduled to take place at the Yaounde Conference Center tomorrow, Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2024, as from 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This news release is signed by the Director of the Prime Minister's Cabinet, Balungeli Confiance Ebune. The interim United Nations Resident Coordinator in Cameroon has come to the end of his mission. Siaka Koulibaly, who has served in the capacity for close to a year, was in the Star Building today to present his goodbye to the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph John Goute. In the same light, the Swiss ambassador to Cameroon, Martin Schrapp, equally met with the head of government to officially say goodbye after serving in Cameroon for 3 years. Our Star Building correspondent, Christian Chiatam, now reports on a Wednesday of goodbyes.
Goodbye, some say, is a chance to express gratitude for friendship and support. This was very much the case when the Prime Minister, Head of Government, received the outgoing resident UN coordinator at interim for one final audience. Joseph John Goute and Siaka Koulibaly counted the work done by the UN system in collaboration with the government of Cameroon for the past 12 months. The result gave reasons to celebrate. Siaka Koulibaly, outgoing UN resident coordinator at interim.
I can cite, among other, our contribution toward the achievement of the national development priorities and our work with some of the ministries, like the ministries of external relations, where we had what we call the dialogue politique structurée, and that was focused on environment and climate change. And then also our support to some of the national development priorities, including on the social side, the health, education, and also not withstanding our efforts were also toward our support to the humanitarian response plan and for within the region affected by the crisis, and together with our partners, and also to accompany the effort deployed by the government of Cameroon.
From one farewell to another, with yet the same sense of fulfillment, the audience which the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph John Goute, accorded the outgoing Swiss ambassador to Cameroon was equally a time to count the fruits of good collaboration. Martin Strop, outgoing Swiss ambassador to Cameroon.
We undertook several activities from the embassy side. As you might know, Switzerland and Cameroon have long-standing relations, very good relations. I wanted to continue these relations and strengthen them in certain areas, as for instance in the area of health, but also in culture. We did some activities, and I also wanted to pave the way for Swiss companies to come here in this country, which has a lot of potential.
Be it the outgoing resident UN coordinator, Siaka Koulibaly, or the outgoing Swiss ambassador to Cameroon, Martin Strop, both expressed the hope that their replacements will continue fostering fruitful collaboration with the government of Cameroon. Christian Che Adam, CRTV, The Star Building.
The Director General of the Douala Port Authority has pledged the institution's full support to the efforts being made by the government of the Republic to rehabilitate and reinstate the Garoua port. Cyrus Ngor was speaking after a visit to the dilapidated Garoua port, as we hear from Julius Niber.
During the walking visit, the North Region's chief executive and the director generals of some public and parapublic institutions were taken aback as the Garoua City Council officials presented an eyesore nature of the port since its abandonment some 6 decades ago and counting. In the face of this deplorable state of affairs and the need to render the Garoua port fully functional once more, the director general of the Douala Port Authority, Cyrus Ngor, says they have taken the commitment to provide their expertise in rendering the Benue River navigable again. Everyone knows that the Douala Port Authority is the government's expert body in this area, and we have around 50 years of experience in the field, and everyone knows the impact that a port can have in an economy. And particularly in the case of Garoua, it is a question of making the North Region's capital city the economic hub in the sub-Saharan region.
Le poumon économique de l'ensemble des trois régions.
From the Garoua port, the Minipart officials and their partners in development involved in the process of the restitution and appropriation of studies carried out on the Benue River, the Lagdo Lake, and the Maga Lake in the far north region, then took a trip to the Lagdo hydroelectric power plant, given that the project also involves boosting the capacity of electricity supply of the Lagdo Dam, addressing clandestine fishing activities in and around the Lagdo Lake, while promoting innovative agricultural activities through the lake's irrigation water supply system. Julius Neba, CRTV News, Garoua.
Officials of Swa, a council area in the Mefua and Afamba division of the Central Region, have launched rehabilitation works on some road stretches in rural and urban parts of that municipality. The mayor, Esama Mbolo, says the works, which will significantly boost the living standards of the population, are being executed thanks to funds amounting to over 200 million CFA francs put together by the council in collaboration with the state. Karin Tosam.
Swa has 4 main chiefdoms: Ebang, Ngali, Tuisong, and Bede, with over 40 villages. Officials there indicate that most rural and urban roads in the area were already in a deplorable state. The mayor of Swa, Esama Mbolo, explains that heavy rains in the course of 2023 destroyed most earth roads in the municipality, necessitating the works that are being undertaken there.
The roads will be rehabilitated all over. We have invested a total of 250 million francs. That is 50 million from the council and 200 million from the state.
The funds transferred by l'État.
Locals like Marie Manga are rejoicing that the rehabilitation works will significantly ease movements, particularly during the rainy season.
We're suffering a lot before, especially when it rained. A lot of mud that even using motorbikes was a challenge.
The mayor has also announced plans of renovating some water points in parts of the municipality to improve the living standards of locals. Karin Tosam, CRTV News, Center.
On the 21st of August 1986, Lake Niels in Menchum Division of the Northwest Region erupted, triggering the massive release of carbon dioxide, killing over 1,000 people and 3,500 livestock. More than 3 decades on, the government of the Republic says the degassing process has been completed and the lake is marked safe from gas disasters. The survivors, on the other hand, seem to have moved on, but they are still beckoning on the state and her partners to look into the dilapidated and destroyed settlement camps. Mercy Kusi sent in this report from CRTV Northwest.
Survivors of the 1986 gas disaster in Ligneus still have a clear picture of that one incident that changed the course of their lives forever. From charred bodies and animals littered in the villages of Ligneus, Cha, Nkam and Sebum to mass graves that were dug to contain their remains, Ban Michael recounts how he narrowly escaped the disaster.
I entered my room and immediately I heard people crying. I rushed out of the house and then I was immediately picked up by the gas. I fell in the yard and remained there for 3 days and only got up at Saturday by 1 p.m.
The settlement camps have experienced several humanitarian and health crises, which the president of the Kimbi Bwabwa Ligneus Survivors Development Organization, Mary Kimbi, says called for consistent action from government.
The land that was apportioned to them became small and is still a problem because the resettlement areas could no longer accommodate the growing population of the survivors.
According to a catastrophologist, Professor Isaac Konfor Njila, government in partnership with her Japanese and French partners have completed the degassing process.
In the 3 years, Lagos was completely degassed. So I want to assure you, the Lagos area is completely safe as far as gas disasters are concerned.
The sociopolitical crisis seemed to have aggravated the plight of the survivors in the Menchum and Boyo divisions, as some of their camps have been attacked and completely destroyed. Mercy Kusi, CRTV News, Bamenda.
The Dean of the Faculty of Medicine and Pharmaceutical Sciences of the University of Chang informs the candidates who want to take the competitive entrance exams into the first year of biomedical sciences and physiotherapy programs that the deadline for submission of applications has been extended to Friday, the 23rd of August, 2024. And now, a news dossier. Cameroon today joins the rest of the world in observing Senior Citizens Day. It is set aside to honor and celebrate the achievements of third age persons, as well as address issues related to their well-being. At the commemorative event organized in Yaoundé today, some senior citizens raised health, financial, and psychological challenges as some of the major issues affecting their well-being. Karen Kubom was there.
The educative talks organized at the headquarters of an organization that caters for third-age persons in Cameroon, known as Living Alternatives for the Aging, Laughter, sought the expertise of an in-house psychologist to address most mental health concerns raised by the over 70 older persons present. The mental health expert, Fai Judith Refor, says their challenges are far-reaching.
They suffer from depression, anxiety, isolation. They always say, I prefer to die. Nobody cares about me. And they suffer from forgetfulness.
Challenges which Mrs. Fai Judith says the center handles adequately.
We educate them how to come out of their depression, have an open mind, the well-being of creating relationships. Give them new vision in life so that they should know that the third age person is not dead, but it's a stage of life.
The Laughter Center is also equipped to respond to the health needs of this age group, which ranges from 60 and above, as Mrs. Refor explains.
Most often they complain of their legs, their backs. Here at Laughter, there are kinetherapy machines that massage their foot and their backs so that they can get relief from their arthritis.
Older persons registered with Laughter also gain knowledge and financing for the development of revenue-generating projects to help empower them economically.
In the South region, senior citizens are considered a treasure and are treated with a lot of affection. That's what we hear from Clarissa Zay, who reports from Ebolova.
It's a daily duty and a privilege for Rosenfort to ensure the well-being of her octogenarian mother.
Firstly, I had to relocate her from the village to live with me in a big city like this. The first and top most challenging thing I had to cope with was changing her diet to meet the standards of the diet or meeting new food choices that she never had in the village. I always make sure I maintain a healthy diet for her and make sure she stays physically and mentally active.
Lionel Mekumba takes the same measures for the development of his parents, towards whom he feels so much affection.
They don't like to sit too much. They like to be very active. Sometimes they go to the farm, even if you say that they should stay at home. In case where there is sickness, we will make precautions and provisions for the necessity, at least to follow up, to check, to see that they are in good health. We could have a doctor who regularly come after 1 month to check their situation.
Others opt for house helpers to better cater for the elderly, most especially when it comes to their diet.
They have their housemate. I usually pay every month. But for their food, I usually send money to give to the housemate so that the housemate will prepare what they want to eat. Because, you know, people like that, they usually choose food. I want to eat by this, I want to eat by that.
Many in Obolova consider the aging as precious beings who deserve love and protection and on whose shoulders they stand to gauge into the future. Clarence Azzi reporting for CRTV News in Obolova.
In some African communities, the elderly are usually seen as wizards and witches and generally considered to be a curse. This commentary by Bertrand Osumba examines the reasons behind this, and he says they are unfounded.
In Cameroonian culture and society, old age is commonly linked to wisdom and reverence, while witchcraft is viewed as a mysterious and potent force. These entrenched beliefs unfortunately result in biases and discrimination against the elderly and those accused of practicing witchcraft. The negative perception of elderly individuals due to age-related decline in physical and mental abilities can have detrimental effects on the mental health and well-being of the elderly in our communities. To shift these perceptions, raising awareness through educational campaigns on elderly rights, promoting respect and dignity for all members of society, and combating superstitious beliefs, fueling the stigmatization of the elderly and alleged witches, are fundamental steps to foster societal cohesion and well-being in Cameroon. Policies and programs must be implemented to support elderly and marginalized individuals. This may involve establishing support services for the elderly, training healthcare and social services professionals on aging and witchcraft-related issues, and implementing safeguards against abuse and discrimination.
While in some communities the elderly are considered as experts in wizardry, others see them as people who hold special positions and play important roles as custodians of traditional knowledge and customs. An organization called Living Alternatives for the Aging, LAFTA, has been working towards improving the quality of life of the senior citizens by increasing their access to specialized health services, leisure, and economic opportunities. The founder, Elizabeth Mofo, is the guest of the 7 p.m. Hello, Elizabeth. What inspired you to create LAFTA?
I was still in school. I lost my dad. And it hurt me so much because I wasn't there to be able to assist him in the hospital. And I felt so useless. So when I finished my education, immediately I came back to Cameroon and I decided that I would take care of the other living parent, my mother. But at some point, I realized that she wasn't very happy. Seeing she was always sad and stuff, I realized that there was another thing that I could do that I probably wasn't doing and she couldn't tell me. So very quickly, of course, like any other person would do, I got into serious prayers for about 2 weeks and certain ideas came up. I decided to take a little bit of our African culture that frowns normally on taking parents to put them in a place to wait to die. So I took some bits of some good aspects from the Western world and the part, another part with African culture. I put the two together and it started proving to be doable.
Some people fear getting old. And you can see them even making the efforts to look young forever, as they put it. Is there any reason for somebody living in a country like Cameroon to be afraid of aging?
By the way, there's nothing wrong with trying to look young. It's a choice. Aging, honestly, is a blessing. It means that you must have achieved everything.
What does Lafka consider as the aging?
60 years. Aging is from when you are born. You're aging, okay? But to become a real full-fledged senior citizen, I think maybe from 65, I'm not too sure. But Lafka considers in its context at 60, because it's at 60 in Cameroon that people go normally should go for retirement.
How exactly does Lafka help these senior citizens cope with life?
We assist them with our services. Just the fact that you come here is like a meet-up place. You meet with other people of your generation. You network, you organize activities like they have every day here at the Lafka Center in Yaoundé. We have talks on psychology, nutrition, how to deal with maybe aging, the different stages in aging, like with joint pains. We have young doctors and retired doctor specialists who come here and try to enlighten those people who come to the center. A lot of exciting services, dance, sports. We celebrate even birthdays, Valentine's Day. It's a happy place.
When and some people here, even find some partners and get married from these encounters.
Last February 14th, we celebrated Valentine's Day here. There's one pair who left with two women, two mamas, his girlfriends.
Thank you very much. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir.
It's 21 minutes past 7 o'clock in Yaoundé. You're listening to CRTV News. Some 200 women from various sectors and backgrounds are to meet in Yaoundé tomorrow to acquire the skills that are required to be a successful leader in this era of the information and communication technologies. The one-day event, which is in its third edition, is an initiative of a humanitarian organization known as Bella Meridian Group, and the focus this year is on women leaders navigating leadership complexities in the digital world. The president of the Bella Meridian Group, Mrs. Yenwu Berta Yibila, says the women are going to improve their skills in some key leadership issues.
We will have four innovative tables. Table one will be talking about leadership styles. We'll compare the traditional leadership styles to the new leadership styles. And you know that with the new leadership style, the leader must have strong communication skills. They will learn about several skills. The second table will be talking about motivation and leadership. What happens when you motivate somebody? Is that all about leadership? What next? The third table will be talking about trust. For you to be an inspirational leader, you must trust yourself and you must trust others. We need to know who you are, what you do, your intentions. We'll also talk about organizational trust. If you get to an organization, you must align with the rules and regulations, with the culture of that organization. And we'll also talk about the market trust. When you take your products to the market, you must brand yourself. And then the last table will be about inspiration. After motivation, which leader are you? So the participants on that table will learn about inspirational leadership.
Elsewhere in the news, the Bermuda City Council Mayor has announced that his office is working on installing fireballs that will rapidly detect and extinguish fires, which have been on the increase recently in that town, damaging markets and other public places. Paul Chobong made the announcement during the midterm evaluation meeting of the Bermuda City Council for 2024. Mabel became the circum.
The projects carried out in this first part of the year, according to City Mayor Paul Achobong, include the construction of two major boreholes worth over 40 million CFA francs, the repairing of damaged shops at the main market worth 30 million CFA francs, initiation of a dam to cost over 600 million upon completion, and the launch of the Operation Clean City project in Bamenda 1, which has, amongst other things, seen the provision of over 2,000 dustbins to ensure a clean city. One major concern now is the reoccurrence of fire disasters that are costing the city's economy a lot. City Mayor Paul Achobong has explained that the council is keen on tackling this problem.
The fireballs are already ready in Bamenda. There are balls designated to be detonated at the slightest indication of fire. We've tested it, it works. We are proposing to every and every Cameroonian who lives or anyone who lives in Bamenda, obtain your fireballs. We'll put some in the market.
Up from a previous readjustment of the more than 4.8 billion CFA francs 2024 budget, which was to ensure the construction of the Bamenda main market following the February fire disaster, these Bamenda city councillors have adopted deliberations to again adjust the council's budget to construct a bypass at the La Chance Bridge that recently collapsed and other emergency projects. Mabel Menkemdis, Akem, CRTV News, Bamenda.
200 young Cameroonians from the 10 regions of the country will update their knowledge in different fields of work and study in the information and communication technologies sector. The training that begins on the 26th of August in Yaoundé is an initiative of the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Civic Education in partnership with the Jackie Feli NAFAC Center, whose Director General Antoine Kolo says the training will enable the youth become entrepreneurs and trainers in the ICT sector.
This opportunity is a great opportunity for our young citizens. The goal is to give the possibility to the young citizens to reinforce their skills in the digital area, digital knowledge. And those skills are needed in Europe, in abroad anyway, because every day they are looking for people who are qualified in those fields. I mean, artificial intelligence, cyber security, and coding, cloud computing, and so on. We have the opportunity to build the capacity of our young citizens and give them the opportunity to go and look for a job abroad.
Over in the Southwest, officials in Wabane, that's in the BLM division, have used the finals of a football competition organized by the mayor to tell the people to send their children to school. Nora Akokebi. We won't be having Nora Akokebi in this edition, and so we go out of the country to the United States of America, where the Democratic Party has officially nominated Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as the party's candidates for the presidential election in November. This was at day two of the Democratic Party's National Convention, during which key speakers, including the former President Barack Obama and wife Michelle, described the Republican candidate Donald Trump as a misfit for the top job. Political Affairs Editor Albert Jebonde.
The Virgin Islanders are strong, resilient, and committed all 13 votes to Kamala Harris!
From the U.S. West to the East Coast, from the traditional Democratic Party strongholds like New York, passing through the battleground states like Michigan to the Republican fiefs of Texas, excited and enthusiastic delegates endorsed the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz ticket. Celebrities sang to recognize the moment that is giving a new momentum to the Democratic Party's campaign since President Biden announced his withdrawal and passing on the torch to the next generation. Interestingly, among speakers was a Republican Arizona mayor, John Giles, and former Trump press secretary Stephanie Grisham, who endorsed the Democrats. Then came the Obamas, Barack and Michelle.
in this race, only Kamala Harris truly understands the unseen labor and unwavering commitment that has always made America great.
We need a president who actually cares about the millions of people all across this country who wake up every single day to do the essential, often thankless work, to care for our sick, to clean our streets, to deliver our packages, and Kamala will be that president.
Kamala Harris is due to accept the nomination at the close of the convention this Thursday.
CRTV News.